Okay, we're going to start. First of all, thank you everyone for coming. Noam's not here, but Noam really pushed me to do this. So,
yeah,
it's not awkward. I'm thanking him, and if he does show up, I'll thank him again. Okay, pretty much, I guess, before we actually begin the text with Eleanu, does anyone know who wrote Eleanu?
Yeshua.
There's this myth that goes around that Yeshua wrote Eleanu b'knisat la'aretz, right? The myth probably isn't true because there are all these like references, like quotes, direct quotes from like Nevi'im Achronim and like Tehillim, and Yeshua wasn't around for that.
Is there a source that says it was from Yeshua?
It's like in footnotes and Gon and Siddurim.
Right.
But either way, it's still a really good myth. Why? Because the whole point of Eleanu, as we're going to see, is about Bnei Yisrael and how we relate to Yisrael. Oh, I gave you a shout out. I thanked you for pushing me to do this.
Nice.
So thank you again.
You're welcome.
Right.
Thank you.
I haven't done anything yet.
Okay.
The whole point of Eleanu is the whole point of Eleanu is that it's about our relationship with the rest of the world and how, and we're going to see it. It's about how we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our mission to like help everyone else serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it makes sense that like for this myth to be that when Yeshua brought the people into Eretz Yisrael, the moment they went from being an isolated nation to being around other people, that was the moment that they wrote Eleanu. So it's a cool myth. I don't know who actually wrote it. There are all these academic theories. That's not the point. The point is it's a beautiful tefillah. It was a tefillah that was originally written only for Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, right, in Malchiyot. And it was said once a year. Then, at some point, in like 1100s, 1200s, they took it and decided to put it not just at the end of Shacharit, Mincha, and Maariv, but also at the end of like a bunch of other things, right? We say Eleanu. What are some examples? Eleanu at the end of like Kiddush Levana. We say Eleanu at the end of like Bris Milah. The whole point is like this is supposed to be a concluding thing that we say at the end of a lot of religious spiritual rituals that we do, and we're gonna see why soon. Before we start, just one note about studying Tefillah in general. My gisha when studying tefillah, I'll lay out.
A gish is a...
What?
I was thinking that.
What's a gish?
My gisha.
That is an approach.
Yeah, my approach. I think just like everything you do, it's important to prepare beforehand. And like if we're preparing for like Purim by reading the Megillah, preparing for Pesach by learning the Haggadah, Kal Vachomer, prepare for tefillah, which you do every single day, multiple times a day. Which means like it's important to do what we're doing, spending time understanding the words that we're saying. But I don't think it's realistic to do this thing where, like, because every single line of, like, tefillah has a lot of, like, depth. Like, not just because Gilad knew what they were doing, or whoever wrote the different parts. I don't think it's realistic to then, when I daven, I have this extreme kavana every single line. I think it's important to spend time beforehand knowing what every single line means, and then when you daven, pick one line at a time for that to be your focus. And you focus on that, and the rest you're not like not having kavana, but it's kind of like the thing where like Gabe and I have we have some inside jokes, so I could say one word, and he'll get it right because we've kind of like built up what we're talking about. Right, when I say schnitzel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So exactly. So it's kind of like so it's like I spend a week for focusing on the word Eleanu, okay, and then the rest of Eleanu I say the words normally, and then the next week I focus on the Shabayach La'adon Hakol, right, and then I say Eleanu. I'm not going to intensely focus on Eleanu, but like I've already built within myself that shortcut. So when I say Eleanu, I don't have to spend 3 minutes thinking about what it means, or that's an exaggeration. But like the point is that you've already built up that shortcut. So take things 1 week at a time, but you want to get to the point where like you could say tefillah at a normal pace, but the words have meaning to you because you've drilled it into your system. So that's the goal here. Yeah. Okay. Let us get started. Most of what I'm going to say is ideas. The Avu Draham, who lived in like the 1400s, his big thing is his Sefer Avu Draham on Tefillah, where pretty much he commented on different parts of Tefillah, and what he did for Eleanu was he would, every line of Eleanu, he would just write the pasuk that he thinks that the Baal Eleanu, whoever wrote Eleanu, where he got this phrase of Eleanu from. He doesn't explain anything. Then there was a Sefer I found at the library The Power of Aleinu by Rabbi Asher Baruch Wegbright. It's a great sefer. Rav K came over to me and was like, is this yours? Because it's not the normal book you find in the Gush Beis Medrash, but it looks cool. Pretty much, he tries to expand what he thinks the Abu Dram is saying, and what exactly he meant when he brought a specific pasuk. Some of the stuff I agreed with, some of the stuff I didn't. Like, he knows a lot more than I do, but whatever. I kind of, like, base a lot of my stuff that I'm saying on him, and fit into a shkafa that I'm more comfortable with. But on that note, let's get started. So, I'm going to open up my Seder. If you have one, feel free to follow along. Right? We start with the word Aleinu. And that's an important word to take a second to return to. Right? Because the rest of Tefillah is us talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then we get to Aleinu. And we're not talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking to ourselves. It is on us. It is our duty. It is our mission. And yeah. Going back to what I said before about the reason why we say Aleinu, not just at the end of every tefillah, but at the end of all these rituals, is because it's not enough to just have an experience, have a chavaya, and move on, right? It's important to remind yourself at the end of something, okay, now what, right? Rav Schwab has this whole approach in his you guys know Rav Schwab's Sefer HaTefillah?
Yeah.
Okay, incredible Sefer HaTefillah. It's worthwhile to, like, take... I think we're Shrab on prayer or something. Yeah. So it's worth it to take the time to look into. But for now, it's a good idea to just go and read the introduction. It's very powerful. And one of the main points he makes in the introduction is that tefillah is every step of tefillah is walking through the Beis HaMikdash. And he goes through every step about how, like, when you say, Birchot HaShachar, you're walking up from the Ezes Hashem into the Ezes Yisrael, then Korbanos, you're at the Mizbeach, then Pesukah Dezember, you're walking to the Ulam, and then Kriya Shema, you're in the Heichal, and then Shema Asi in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he goes through these whole steps, right? And the whole point is we're there, we're gathered together as a nation to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then, the way I always like to view it is we get to Aleinu. And Aleinu is like the pep rally. We've had this, like, experience where we've been, like, calling out the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and now the leader of the group, like the Shliach Tzibur, who is leading this service to Kadosh Baruch Hu, turns around and starts, like, leading a pep rally. And he goes, Aleinu, and we all respond, Aleinu. And he goes, L'shabayach, we all respond, L'shabayach. It's like at a Chabad camp. I went to those back in the day. It was awesome. But, yeah, so that's exactly the point. Aleinu is our mission statement. And everything that we're going to say is important to internalize, because this is our purpose in life, and this is the reason why we're doing why we're serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, and why we're doing all these rituals. And we remind ourselves about that several times today. So that's just like the introduction with the word. Okay, then we get into the next phrase, right? L'shabayach la'adon hakol. This phrase la'adon hakol, the Abu Draham, he thinks that it's taken from Tehillim. Let me just get the right thing. Tell him, Perek Tzadi Zion. Where we say in Kabbalah Shabbat every week. In Tehillim Perek Tzadi Zion, right? We say, Hashem Alach, Tegel Aret, Yitzmechu Yim Rabim. Hashem is the king. Anan Barafel Sivivav. There are these clouds, there's fog. Sedek Mishvat Mechon Kiso. Ishlof Hanav Telech. There's fire in front of Hashem. Lehit Aviv Sarav. Hiru Verakav Tevel. His world is filled with lightning. Ratav Atachal Aretz. Harim Kadun Agnamasu. The mountains are going to melt. Milifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Milifnei Adon Kol Aretz. So Abu Dram says this is the makor for the phrase L'shabayach Adon Kol. We're referring to Hashem in this context, that he is the Adon Kol Aretz. And what his point is, it's not that we're not referencing Hashem right now, who is specifically the Adon of Kol, the people in the world. He's the Adon of every single possible thing in this world. And if you look at this pasuk, the Malbim makes the point that all these different things, the fire, the clouds, the lightning, the mountains, these are all things that people can potentially, that people do think are gods, back in those days, things that people worship. And the whole point is all these milifnei Hashem, when they're in front of Hashem, they're all going to namasu, they're all going to melt, because we're going to recognize that Hashem is Adon Kol Haaretz. So our mission when we're saying Aleinu, we're reminding ourselves that our purpose in life is l'shabayach l'adon hakol, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the master of every single possible other thing that someone can view as a god. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all of that. And our job is to be l'shabayach, to praise. And what exactly is this shabach that we're supposed to be saying to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as part of our mission in life? That's the next line. latid gedulah liyotzer bereishit, to give gedulah to liyotzer bereishit. So the first thing to point out here is, right, we have multiple ways of relating to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's the Kadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim. There's also the Kadosh Baruch Hu who created the world. And the difference is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim is much more Jewish focus. It's not as universal. It's much more specific. But the point of Aleinu is not to just focus on Am Yisrael. We're focusing on everyone. That's why we're praising the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Yotzer Bereishit, who created the entire world. And what exactly is our purpose of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world? Latet Gedula. Abu Jam links us back to the pasuk that we know also from Sefer Tehillim. Gadlu Lashem Iti and Ramu Mashmo Yachav. You should come praise Hashem with me. And the Malbim makes the point there. The Malbim is very good at linguistics and semantics. And a lot of times when you have a pasuk that seems to be saying the same thing in the first half and the second half, what the Malbim will do is he'll explain, no, they're actually not saying the same thing. There's a difference. And he says, what's the difference between Gadlu and Unaroma? What's the difference between making someone Gadol and making someone Ram? He says, when you try to be Unaroma, you try to make someone Ram, you're saying they're so great, they're just out of my reach. They're unattainable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, I'm never going to be able to understand him. As opposed to Gadlu, which is making HaKadosh Baruch Hu great, but in a way that he's so great and I'm still able to have a kesher with him, I'm still able to understand him. And the Malbim makes the point, and Abu Jam makes the point, that that's exactly what our mission is here. Right? Our point, our goal in life is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because we need to latet gedula liyotzer bereishit. We're praising Kadosh Baruch Hu to show the rest of the world, everyone who was created by the Yotzer Bereishit, by Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want to show them all that we're able to be Megadel Hashem, not just Miromim, but we're also Megadel. We're able to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu as great and as powerful, and yet still have a relationship with him and still be connected to him. Because a lot of times, right, the reason why people don't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu is because I don't want to devote my life for a purpose that I feel like I have no sheichus to, and it doesn't involve me whatsoever. So that's exactly the goal of Aleinu, of us, of Am Yisrael, to try to give over that message to the entire world. Okay. Now, the big question is why us, right? What makes us better suited to accomplish this mission of Latik Dulali or Sarah Bereishit better than anyone else in the world? And then in Aleinu, whoever wrote the Baal Aleinu, goes through four stages. And each of these four stages shows why Bnei Yisrael is the nation that has been molded, that has been formed, and that is perfectly suited in order to fulfill this mission of Latik Dulali or Sarah Bereishit. What?
That's not part of the praise?
Lechora not. Lechora seems to be much more of like why we're giving the praise, and then we get to the praise like later on at the end of Aleinu.
Okay.
Right, because we're not saying, yeah, right. There are multiple ways of reading it. This seems to be the approach that the Abu Dram is taking.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. You disagree. The first praise is Shelo Asanu Kikugei Haratzav. That Hashem didn't make us like the nations of the rest of the world. And the Abu Jam makes the point here that what does it mean Hashem didn't asa utanu like the rest of the world? That we are the only nation about which it says asa. It's a weird phrase. What does that mean? We're the only nation about which it says asa? First of all, that's true. He brings a bunch of proof texts from Tanakh to show that it says about no other nation asa. One, and only about Am Yisrael. One example that he brings is in Parshat Hazino, in Devarim. What? That's true. That's not the one he brings. That's good. But the one he brings, which is more relevant for just the purpose of Aleinu, is Hu Ascha Bichoner Nacha. Right? Hashem, he made us. If you look at Rashi and all the Mepharshim, they say Hashem made us an Uma Bein Ha'umot. Yeah, I don't have it here. I'm sorry. He made us like a nation amongst other nations. And a lot of the Mepharshim and Rashi explain this is referring to Har Sinai. Right, Har Sinai was the time Hashem took us from being a bunch of isolated individuals and formed us into one nation. And we're going to see it. We're probably not going to get to it today. But this whole first paragraph of Aleinu, the theme of the first paragraph of Aleinu is Har Sinai, because the breakdown is going to be the first paragraph of Aleinu is talking about Bnei Yisrael, and then we're going to speak about okay now how Bnei in the second paragraph of Al Kain we're going to see how Bnei Yisrael is supposed to relate to the rest of the world. But the first paragraph which is B'nai Israel, the focus is gonna, like the theme is going to be Har Sinai, as we're going to see at the end. But before we get there, right? So the first reason why B'nai Israel are suited to fulfill this mission of Latei Kedula Aliyot Bereishit is Shelo Asanu Kugei Aretzo, because Hashem didn't make us like the way He made everyone else. Meaning He didn't asa everyone else, but He asad us. The rest of the world had people that came together to form communities, to form nations. They did that on their own. They're great. They're strong, cohesive groups of people and nations. But we're the only group of people who a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself formed and made us into a nation. So that's the first step. Right? A Kadosh Baruch Hu collected us from a bunch of individuals and made us into a unit. Okay? That's Shelo Asanu Kugei Haratzon. But that's not enough. It's not that just Hashem made us into one unit, into a people. He also, Velo Samanu Kamishbachu Ta'adama. He didn't place us like the other families of the earth. The Abu Dram links this back to Abraham. So if you have a Tanakh, if you want to jump back to Bereishit Perek Yud Bet. Beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Abraham the follows. V'yomer Hashem el Abraham, Lech Lecha me'artzecha u'muladetecha mi'beit avicha el ha'aretz asher araka. Right? Go from your land. And Hashem makes Abraham a few promises. Number one is Ve'e'escha l'goy gadol. Like we just said, I'm going to make you, I'm going to asa you into a big nation. Right? That was the first stage we just covered. But then V'avarcha v'agalad shemecha, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you great. V'ayibracha, and you're going to be a blessing. V'avarcha v'avarchecha, those you bless will be blessed. V'kalalacha or those you curse will be cursed. This is the important part that the Abu Dram quotes. V'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachu ta'adama. And all the mishpachot adamah, all the nations of the world, are going to be blessed through you. What does this mean? So Rashi on the spot jumps in and explains that the rest of the world is going to look up to you. And there's going to be like, person number one, father number one, who says to his son, he's going to say, I want you to grow up one day to be as great as Abraham. That's what the mishpachot adamah are going to look up to Abraham and his descendants, i.e. Am Yisrael, and use us as role models. And that's exactly what we're saying. V'lo samana k'mishpachot adamah. It's not that we're going to be like every one of the mishpachot adamah who look up to someone else. We're not like that, because we are the ones who are looked up to. So stage number one is that we were formed into a nation, right? And everyone else, we were formed into a nation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everyone else kind of just became nations on their own. But stage two is that we as a nation weren't just formed, we're also taken to become that role model for everyone else. And that's reason number two why we're more fit to be able to fulfill this role. Because people, we were made in a way that people in the world look up to us. Okay. Okay. That what? Yeah, fine. We'll debate about that after. But there's no like a specific nation that it says about them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Speaking in general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Asa Goyim. But it's not that he was a Asa Amalekim, a Asa Pleshtim. Whatever, we'll debate about it after, just because we're short of time. Fine. Stage number three is Shelo Sam Chalkeinu Kahem. Hashem didn't make our chilek, our portion, like their portion. So Abu Dram links this back to Sefer Devarim, right? Parsha Devarim. Devar Tanakh, go to Devarim, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Yotet, where Moshe is warning B'nai Israel after Har Sinai, after you saw all these images, be careful not to like turn these images into a Bodo Zara, which is what they did by the Chet HaEgel. And Moshe says, "Fenti sa'inach ha'shamayma, lest you lift your eyes up to the sky. Vereita et ha'shemesh v'tiyarech v'tekochavim. You're going to see the sun, the moon, the stars. Kol tzva shamayim, the entire army of the sky. V'yirachta, and you're going to strive. V'shachavita lahem va'avatam, and you're going to turn to them and you're going to serve them." And then Moshe adds tangentially, bless you, about these suns, these moon, and these stars that you shouldn't serve. These are Asher Chalak Hashem Lokecha Utam B'chol Ha'amim Tachat Kol Shamayim. Hashem apportioned these for all the other nations. What does that mean? We're not supposed to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars, but Hashem apportioned it for all the other nations. So Rashi gives two pshatim. First, he gives the pashim pshat, which is that Hashem designated these stars and the sun and the moon to give light to the whole world, but not to be worshipped. And then Rashi quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Hayam and Aleph, which says Hashem was chalak all of these. He apportioned all these to the nations of the world, meaning He made it a I forget the lashon of the Gemara, but Hashem is kind of like machlikotam. He made it slippery for the rest of the world, meaning he allowed the rest of the world to fall, for it to be a slippery slope, to fall to avodah zarah. But he didn't do that to us. Hashem was not halak. He did not make it machlik, make it a slippery slope for us. So when we go back to Aleinu, we say shelo sam chalkenu kahem. Hashem did not make our portion like them. Essentially, we're saying that Hashem did not make avodah zarah or the path of avodah zarah as tempting or as slippery as it is for the rest of the world. And the natural thing is for worship of a physical thing, to have a physical thing to connect to. That's natural, and it's natural that if we want to do something, Kadosh Baruch Hu lets us do that. But it's kind of like a Kadosh Baruch Hu interferes and doesn't let us go down that path because He wants us to fulfill a special role. And He doesn't give us that opportunity. He normally doesn't intervene, but He does for us because He wants us to accomplish this goal. And then the fourth thing, and I guess with this we'll end, is the Gura Alinu Kechol Amonam. Hashem also didn't make our lot like the lot of everyone else. Abudram links us back to Tehillim. Tehillim Perek Tet Zayin. Where we say as follows. We're saying this to Hillel, that Amarti Lashem, Hashem Atah Tovati Ba'alecha, Hashem, you're very good to me. If you go to Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Hei at Tehillim, the Mishorer Tehillim here, says, Hashem Menat Chalki Yuchosi, Hashem, you're my portion, you're my cup, Atah Tomich Gorali. You're gonna support my lot, meaning you're gonna intervene and make sure I have a good portion. So as opposed to the rest of the world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of lets fate carry on naturally, whatever happens happens. For us, Hashem is tomich korali. It kind of intervenes, and it doesn't make sure we just have good intentions by not coming off the slippery slope, but also make sure the end results are the desired result.
You saw that idea more.
What was that?
I don't think God intervenes more with Jews than with non-Jews. Does God not intervene with everything to make sure everything goes as according? Like, does God not know every prophet of the prophet?
100%. Just because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen doesn't mean he necessarily the Kadosh Baruch Hu actively intervenes and change. And obviously, we can't simplify what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does in two sentences. But there's like the natural cause and effect of things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu lets play out, and then there's a time where things should go in a certain direction, but Kadosh Baruch Hu steps in kind of like a shkaka pratis and changes
the
natural
birth. Like something that's not natural. So, like Yam Suf, you say is natural. Like things to that extent.
Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu interfering with the world isn't something that's necessarily so visible. And in theory, something should have played out a certain way and ended up playing out a certain way, and we may not have noticed. We may think this is natural, but really that wouldn't have been the natural course.
Rambam says there's more shkachah pratis for tzaddikim. Rambam says the bigger tzaddik you are, the more shkachah pratis you have. So it's sort of connected to that.
How does that go?
How does that connect?
Yeah.
Because it's at a larger scale, right? That Hashem does shkachah pratis in certain situations, depending on, right? It's not that everyone has shkachah. Hashem could do Ashkacha Pratis for everyone, but at certain times.
But you say that everything was created at Masa Bereshit, right? I don't understand any of this.
What do you mean?
Everything was created at Masa Bereshit.
Oh, this is a separate question on Ashkacha Pratis now.
Yeah, I think
it's a conversation for after, but the simple answer is you could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that he's going to intervene at certain moments. Like, he made it so that at X moment when nature
should. It's not more valuable to intervene at more moments. It's just it wasn't.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that way. Whatever.
That's not more valuable. So the argument here is that God intervenes with us more than going, that's almost we're better.
No, but the whole point is not we're better. And I hear what you're saying. We, continue the conversation after. Just, we misakame this, and we'll stop, and then, we can talk. The point is, right, we said there are four things that differentiate Klal Yisrael from the rest of the world. Number one is Hashem himself formed us into a people and didn't do that for everyone else. Number two is he didn't just make us into a people, but he also made us role models for everyone else. Number three is that Hashem makes sure that we don't fall down slippery slopes. And we don't have this desire to necessarily do the wrong thing all the time, like it's true about most people. Hashem kind of intervenes and stops those thoughts and those intentions. And the fourth thing is that in practice, Hashem makes sure that the end result is more involved, Kilo, and we'll discuss what that means in our end result than he is with everyone else's end result. And but none of this is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors Bnei Yisrael more than everyone else. This is all to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us in a way that we're able to be this nation that's fit to carry on this purpose, the Aleinu, our mission in life, which is to present the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world, to the entire world, and show that he is relatable, show that he is someone that that we're able to have a kesher with. And just to end with one machshav T point, like someone may argue that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants everyone to serve him, why didn't he just make it so that everyone has the Torah and everyone has a chiyuv to serve him? Why does he only give one nation this extra level of Tayag Mitzvot and everyone else only did Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach? Doesn't that mean he loves us more than everyone else? No, it doesn't. And think about it this way. The analogy I always give is, like, in the past when I've had, like, young campers, like 4 or 5 years old, when I say to them, okay, guys, it's time to clean up, no one listens. But the moment I say, guys, look at Joey. Joey's doing such a great job cleaning up. Suddenly everyone wants to be like Joey, and they start cleaning up too. A lot of times, the best way to accomplish a certain goal is not by an authority figure telling everyone what to do, but an authority figure singling out one person or one group of people and having them become the role model. It's much easier to look up to your peer than it is to look up to an authority figure. And that's exactly the goal. Hashem wants everyone to be able to take Gulali or Tzavrishi, to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be able to connect to him. But he can't do that by telling all of us to do it. So he singles out one nation and shapes them and molds them and forms them in a way so that they're able to then be that role model to eventually get to the point where everyone is able to achieve this goal of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Dafka not. Because everyone has different ways of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that makes and that's what makes our kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.